So I've been sharing with you since who knows how long about expectancy. Say 2020. What does the word 20 mean? There we go. See, that's why I'm going. What does the word 20 mean? Say expectancy. Say my roar. Because as the wind of the Holy Spirit blew in, it was like a roar, the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Amen? Amen. Say this with me now. The Holy Spirit is going to roar into my life and change my life. How many of you like where you are? Nobody likes where you are. We're going to have a good time today. How many of you look in the mirror in the morning and say, who are you? Did you ever have that happen to you? And that's after you comb your hair and brush your teeth. And I don't put makeup on, but you know what I'm trying to say. Every day we what? Change in the natural. There needs to be change in the realm of the spirit. Amen? So say expectancy. God's expecting something from us, and we're expecting something from Him. And the Lord gave me a little phrase, and I want to preach on that, if you don't mind, today. And that is this: a saturated life in the Word. If the devil can't deceive you, he can't defeat you. Amen. It's that simple. Amen. If we are saturated with the Word of God, then we can't be deceived. Say it's an impossibility. So let's go look at some scripture verse. You don't mind that today, do you? Go over to the Gospel of John, the very, very first chapter, and we'll look at the first five verses. Can we do that? In the beginning, before all time. So we're not just talking about when God had to create time because man had sinned. Long before time ever became part of our life. Say, before time. Before time. All right, listen to it now. Before time was the Word. It means Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself, according to Isaiah 9:6. There are some, I won't talk about different cults, but their translation goes like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. See, singular. And a whole cult has been built around that. I won't mention the name of it. But the correct translation is with God, because there's what? Plurality. There's the Godhead. All right? The Godhead. When they started building a Tower of Babel, the Word says this: let's go down, let us, see, there's always plurality, and do what? Confuse their language, because if not, listen, they'll be able to do what they've set out to do, because what they're saying one to the other is agreement. Say agreement. Agreement. When two people marry, what are they doing? They're bringing agreement together. Amen? Amen. One of the key aspects of any relationship is agreement. Amen. Any two shall agree as touching any one thing. What's going to happen? It's going to be done, because it's already been done in heaven. It's one of the promises of God. Amen. Say this with me now. I want to live a Word-saturated life. How many of you desire it? It's not going to happen on a Sunday morning. What I'm trying to do is burp you on a Sunday morning, because you ate so well all week long. Look at the second verse. He was present originally with God. So Christ has what? Always been there. Always will be there on a continuing basis. Amen? So long before Adam and Eve were created and sin came into the garden, Jesus Christ was. Amen. Say, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God. Say plurality, not singular. Amen? All things were made and came into existence through Him. What things? All things. Name it all. That hat that she's wearing. All the elements that made that hat, including the hands that formed it, God made. Give me something else God's made. The stars. How many of you like looking into the heavens? Oh, man, there's nothing like it. I am still on the quest to see a shooting star. I'm serious. The last time I looked, my neck was going, all right, I take, oh, there it goes. What, who? I see satellites. I want to see a shooting star. My family does this all the time. There goes, where? I didn't see nothing. Oh, you just missed it. Look at the third verse. All things were made and came into existence. So what He's made, what? Came into existence. You and I are here and made into existence. Who made us? God made us. Say, God made us. Look at your neighbor and say, God did a great job on you. And without him was not even one thing made that came into being. Everything. Say the chair I'm sitting on. God holds that together. Think about that. Everything around us, he holds together. Say everything. So who do we want to give credit to? God. Why? Because he holds everything together. How many of you work a job? All right. How many about think about working a job? Okay. God gives you hands, fingers, feet, eyes, all that you and I may need to what? Work a job. So why not honor God with every part of our being and say thank you? How many of you have ears that can hear? Thank God for that. God has created everything, and everything that was made, he made it, and he put it together. Listen, if God puts it together, it's not coming apart. He's got everything under control. Now listen to this now. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Say, in him is life. Fifth verse, and the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. Say, the darkness has never overpowered it. Can I add something to it? And never will. Say, never will. Say, never will. Nothing changes God. Amen? Put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it and is unreceptive to it. So listen to me. Jesus Christ is everything that we'll ever need. Say, everything we'll ever need. He's absolutely everything. Now, turn over, if you don't mind, to 1 John. Let's go over to 1 John. Can we do that real quick? 1 John. I'm just going to clobber you with the word today. How's that sound? 1 John 3:8. This is the Amplified. Fair enough. Let's do verse 7, too. Why not? Boys, let no one deceive and lead you astray. Remember what I said in the beginning? If Satan cannot deceive us, he cannot defeat us. How does he not defeat us? By knowing the truth of God's word. Living a word-saturated, say word-saturated, life. Listen to this now. Wow, it's great in the Amplified. Lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright, conforming to the divine will, listen, in purpose, thought, and action. Say the word of God is his will. In purpose, say it aloud, purpose, thought, and action. Here, listen to these two words now. Living consistently. There's the problem with our spiritual life. There's the problem with life in general. You can't make man live a consistent life. It's something he's got to have a desire to do. I want to live a consistent life in the natural. I want to live a consistent life in the realm of the Spirit. Hang on now. What's one of the words that the Holy Spirit represents? It's helper. The word sin means missing the mark or missing the bullseye. Have you ever shot at a target? Another use an arrow or a gun, anybody? Have you ever missed the bullseye? Amen. And if you miss the bullseye, you got to do what? Practice some more. How do we miss it? By yielding to temptation, and then sin shows up. Listen now. But the Holy Spirit can help us. He becomes our instructor, so we don't miss the bullseye anymore. Remember, I've said so many times, God has created man for one thing. That's to love. What do we see in our world today? Every level. You don't even have to go just to government. It's everywhere. People just hate one another. People don't trust one another. But the love of God that lives on the inside of you and I reaches out a hand of love and says, I love you. See, God loves us that way, unconditionally. I said this last week too, and eyes went like, what? Say, I can live a life with no regrets. Some people may still be under the chair when they slid down. What do you mean? If we live a life in the Spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit, who will help us when we look at the Word and it says, I don't know if I can handle that. You can't, and I can't. But say, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I can do it. No person can pastor a church unless God calls them to do it, because he's always there to help you. You can't do it. There's no way you can do it. If God calls you to do something, listen, he will equip you. Don't try to do something you can't. I learned early on in life that if I'm a great administrator, it just comes natural. It's in my family somewhere, in the genes, I don't know. But if I was not a good administrator, I'd find somebody who was. If I tried to be an administrator and I wasn't, I'm in a heap of trouble. What you do is you always staff your weaknesses. That goes for a business, but it also goes for our individual lives. When we're weak, the Bible says, if you're weak, what should we do? Say, I am strong. Ask God to bring people around you who can help you in the natural and even so in the realm of the spirit. Amen. Every week I try to help you. This week I'm trying to help you again. And by helping you, I'm helping myself. I can't be deceived if I live in this word. Say a word-saturated life. How many of you know when the ground gets saturated, like we see down south now with all the rain? What happens when the ground is saturated? It just runs all over the place. If we can become saturated with the word of God, then we have enough where we can drip all over everybody else. I'm not looking for an eyedropper where I can drop one or two drops on them once in a while. I want to dump buckets and buckets. Like after a game, they dump all the Gatorade. I don't know why. I would have drank that stuff, you know, to put some water in the guy. But they dump what? As a sign of victory, because there's enough of that stuff in that container, they actually put one aside just for the coach when they win the game. Amen. Glory to God. We should be walking around with enough of the Holy Ghost and anointing where we can get it on somebody else and set. Say, living consistently. A life of righteousness, even as he is righteous. Say, I'm in right standing with God. Here's the next verse. Oh, I love this verse, powerful. But he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. Oh, that's not nice. Well, that's what the Bible says. He takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the what? The beginning. Listen to the rest now. I like it in the Amplified. For this reason, the Son of God was manifested. How was Jesus Christ manifested? He came as a baby. What did they try to do to all the children when they were born because they were afraid of the king? Killed them all. If you and I could understand and realize this is the only source of life that we have and that we need. This is it. Can I say this? We need to be more serious today than ever before. Amen. Joe and I were talking a little bit yesterday and about this virus that's going around. It's epidemic. And then he used another word. I looked it up, Joe, because I wasn't sure. He said, but now they're talking maybe it's pandemic, which means worldwide. Now, if you hear those kinds of things, what happens? Fear looks for a place because of what we heard to come on in and settle. But the Bible tells me in Romans that faith comes by hearing. John G. Lake comes into my spirit. Missionary to Africa. The bubonic plague had hit. He said, put some of that on my hand. I'm going to try to Google that just to see if they know anything. When they put it on his hand and they put it under a microscope, the bubonic plague died. You can call me crazy. I don't want to be like Doubting Thomas. I don't want to be like Peter in the boat. I laughed the other day when I read it again. They said, who are you coming underwater? Who walks underwater, especially at night? No navigation lights or nothing like that. He said what? I am. What does Peter say? If that's you, Lord. You know, that's like reading the Bible and it says, God is love and he loves us. You really do? Come on now. Jesus gave everything. His life was saturated with the word of God so you and I could sit here. We could live this life here on planet Earth with joy and happiness, not sadness running around. Come on. Come on. A saturated life in the word. Say saturated. I know saturated. You get a piece of Italian bread. and you go to the pot where the sauce is a-cooking. With the excuse now, you have to see if it's done. And you dip the bread, and you let it get saturated. Not like a Bounty Quicker Upper thing, the bread. And you leave enough it sticking out, not too much, and you see it getting saturated more and more as the pot goes down. Say, that's a saturated life. And then you start eating it. You got one hand with the pot and another on another piece of bread. From the beginning, the reason the Son of God was manifested, made visible, was to do, listen, to undo, say undo. And it literally means this. It means destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the enemy has done. What's he going to do? He's, my God, say manifested. The word destroy in the King James literally means every one of those three words I just read. Another way to describe it in the natural would be, have you ever, you've seen it on television or you've read, you see some area around a building, it's blocked off because the brick started falling out of the building. That's because the mortar that held the bricks together over the years has begun to, what? Yeah, and it starts falling out. When Jesus showed up as a baby, the enemy started falling apart. What's a baby going to do against a grown man? Has anyone ever sewn before, not just ladies, but men, and you sewing a garment, and you pick the garment up, and it falls apart? Why? Because the bobbin underneath, if the bobbin runs out, what happens when you pick it up? Satan tried to pick Jesus up on the cross, not realizing that Jesus gave his life. But when Jesus said, I got you, it's over, everything fell apart for him because Jesus spent 3 days in hell, preached to the captives, and on the way out, he said, oh, by the way, you want to give back to me now what you stole? Amen. You and I have the right. I said, you and I have the right. You and I have the right to command Satan to give back everything that he's stolen. Say glory. Well, it just doesn't work that way, Pastor. Well, I didn't even want to hear how you're thinking about it. Say saturated. Let me go here with you. Jesus, say Jesus, lived a saturated life. How many of you remember when he was in the wilderness? Who led him into the wilderness? Sometimes the Holy Ghost will lead us places that way. Is this you, Holy Spirit? When you live a word-saturated life, there won't be questions about how you got where you are. If we're making choices based on the word, we're right in the perfect will of God for you and I. Say perfect will. When he's in the wilderness experience and Satan tempts him, Jesus does one thing. He quotes the word of God from Deuteronomy. Say, word saturated. What could have come out of his mouth? All kinds of stuff. But Jesus lived a life in the Father because he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He quotes the word. Say, he quotes the word from Deuteronomy. What did Satan use? He used Satan's amplified version. Because, listen, if there's no truth in the enemy, he's incapable of speaking the truth. So what he speaks, even though it's close and resembles the word, it's not the word. It's a knockoff. I still remember the time in this city early on, and somebody was selling Rolex watches on the street. They held that thing up. Oh, I put it in my hand. My arm almost fell off. Whoa. How much? $15. Now, anybody with a brain would have known then that something's wrong because he let me hold the one that was real, and then when you take the other one home and find out it doesn't work. But me being a smart person like I am, knowing all, next time I was down in the city, I bought a two-line telephone. Guess how much? Anything costs $15, run as quick as you can. I got the thing home. Remember that thing? I plugged it all in. I was so excited, and it didn't work. So me, I take it apart, and there's no guts on the inside. The next time I was in the city, they were selling these huge televisions on the back of a truck. And I'm looking and saying, how much is he charging for that thing? $15, huh? So I said to myself, I think I'm going to pass on this one. Why are you clapping? And then the next day I read, they caught this man selling televisions, and when they picked up the boxes, they were so heavy, but they were full of rocks. See, up until that time, this was full of rocks, but then I got smart. Don't let the enemy deceive you. There's only one thing that's authentic and real. It's the Word of God. When your life and my life is so saturated with the Word of God, what will come out of our mouth when we face any storm, any difficulty, any pressure at all, will be the Word of God. Say glory.
Glory.
Wilderness experience. He takes the Word. Listen to me now. When he's carrying the cross, he speaks out of Hosea. Say he's carrying the cross, and what happens? Speaking the Word. Say saturated. Guess what he did on the cross of Calvary as he was being crucified? He spoke the Word of God. Now, go over with me real quick, if you don't mind, to Psalms. Go over to 22nd chapter of Psalms. Guess what? I'm almost there. 22nd chapter. You ready? This is what the Word says. Say Messianic Psalm. First verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, where have we heard that before? On the cross. This was written hundreds of years long before the cross. David wrote this. This isn't about David. God was using him prophetically, talking about Jesus. See, nobody has an excuse where they say, I didn't know. There's something on the inside of people looking for answers. They try everything. But once you try Jesus and find out he's real and that he lives on the inside of you and that he cares about every footstep you take, every breath that you take, everything you see with your eyes, he cares about every aspect of your family, my God. Why would we want to switch and try something else? I have great doctors that work with me and all kinds. I don't want to trade these doctors off for somebody else. They're great. They help your body heal. But I also know the great physician. One of our doctors prays with us. Oh, say glory to God like that. Look for a doctor who'll pray with you. If not, say, can I pray with you? They know when they operate on folks that somebody's guiding those hands. They were trained, but they're trained by God. Say by God. All right, here we go now. Why are you so far from helping me? And from my words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you answer not. And by night, I am not silent or find rest. But you are holy. Oh, you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and leaned on and relied on you and were confident and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were delivering them. They trusted and leaned on, confidently relied on you, and you were not ashamed or confounded or disappointed. But I'm a worm and no man. I am a scorn of men and despised by people. When Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, guess what he was doing? He was using the Word of God out of his mouth to get him through the most difficult time of his life. Say his life. I have never been crucified. No, have you been crucified? But I have been crucified by words. What do we do to get through that storm? Take the Word and speak it back out of our mouth. Say, take the Word and speak it back out of our mouth. There's nothing, say there's nothing, that Jesus can't turn around. Say nothing. Go over to Romans real quick. We're having fun today? How many of you are getting something? Romans, the 4th chapter. and look real quick. If you don't mind, I'm looking, which verse do I want? Yeah, let's go to verse 17. I'm going to do it in the King James and Amplified. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. Let me read in the Amplified. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He has appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. When the Bible says in the beginning of Genesis, it says, and God made. The word made in Hebrew means this. From, say this with me. From absolutely nothing, he made everything. I want him on my team. I don't want him as the sixth man off the bench. I want him to be my starter. Say, from absolutely nothing, he made everything. That's why I keep saying, you and I can live a, what kind of a life? A life with no regrets if we allow this God and be saturated with his word on the inside of us, and he will hold us back from making goofy decisions. Have you ever made a decision about anything? And while you're making it with your mouth or your actions, you go, what am I doing? Anybody ever been there? That's because you and I live in the flesh. Then after we do it, we say, why did I do that? I take myself into the back corner, into the alleyway, and beat myself up. Because when we make those kind of decisions, there's a lot of regret, and there's a lot of sometimes having to turn around and find our way back to where we are. But when we have Jesus Christ and we're saturated, say, saturated with the word of God, my God, when things come our way, when temptation comes, we won't even bother to answer the door. We won't even stop. We'll just keep marching and have the word of God come out of our mouth right through the storm. Say, right through. There's nothing bigger than you and nothing bigger than me. God will take something that we don't know anything about and bring it to pass so we can put it into our lives and use it in the midst of our difficulties. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And don't you know that this week, some of us will do it again. Some of you are looking at me like, how did he know? It's flesh and blood. It's human being. I do the same kind of things. I promise myself every time I get behind the wheel, so help me, I am going to be the world's best driver. Sometimes I don't get out of my driveway and I'm in trouble. From absolutely nothing, he has made everything. He's disarmed principalities and powers. Let's look at several words, if you don't mind. The word quicken in that scripture verse. Quicken, say quicken. Listen to what it means in the Greek. To make alive, to infuse life in, to resurrect, or to empower with divine life. That's what the word, when it says quicken. So when you and I run into something that seems impossible, what God was telling Abraham, was it impossible? Did Abraham think it was impossible? How many of you think things are impossible when God speaks to you? They are in the natural. We've got to take a stand. I said this Wednesday night. We've got to take a position that we look at things through God's eyes, not through ours. If we look at it through God's eyes, we're looking at it through the Word. What's impossible? What does the Word say? All things. And you know every time I look up the word all, what it says? I heard somebody the other day say, well, if God wanted to heal me, he would have. No, no, no. That's looking at things through your natural eyes. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. Remember when they cut the hole in the roof and dropped the man down? What did Jesus say? I see your faith. Not because they cut a hole in the man's roof and it was the neighbor and they could have got mad at each other. No, no, no. They had to get this man in the presence of God, and the crowd was too vast, so they cut a hole in the roof. You know why they cut a hole in the roof? They were led by the Holy Ghost. Does that mean I could throw rocks at my neighbor's window because I don't like them? No, 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 you're missing the hole. No, make holes in your neighbor's roof. No, just go knock on the front door and tell them Jesus loves him. Amen? And what happened? Jesus said, I see your faith. See your faith. Here's another word. It says this. It says dead. Say dead. Dead. Listen to what it means. A lifeless corpse. Have you ever had things in your life, in my life, that just seem to be dead and they're not going anywhere? How many of you, God gave you visions and dreams and they haven't happened yet? They're on the way. You never give up on a vision or a dream. Let me try that again. You never give up on a vision or a dream. Say never.
Never.
So when you have a vision or dream and it seems like a lifeless corpse, speak to it. Mark 11, 23. Say unto this mountain, what's the mountain? Anything that's bigger than you and I. And there's a whole bunch of things in my life that are bigger than me. Say, anything that's bigger than you is a mountain. I'd like to see that sanctuary up. I'm kind of getting tired of looking at the picture. But I know there's a time for that. I know this because the Bible says before you do something and build, count the cost. It's not so much about putting up a building would cost millions. It's about now you have to maintain it. It's always easier to obtain something. When you say, you guys just got married not too long ago. I do. Now you have to maintain the relationship. Listen, listen, here's another definition of it. We're all going to be all done. Something that's cold, dead, lifeless. Have you ever had a situation where things seem like they're dead, they're lifeless, nothing's going to happen? But guess what? Jesus comes along, and the divine life of Jesus and the Word steps in and brings life to something that's dead. Say glory.
Glory.
Jesus was dead, but the Holy Ghost came in and quickened his body. The Spirit of God, the same one that raised Christ from the dead, is where? On the inside of me. Say, it's on the inside of me. Say, it's on the inside of me. And if it can cause somebody who's beyond the years of childbearing to give birth to a son, it can come into your life and my life and give life to that which is dead and a lifeless corpse.